Okay, let's commit this time to God. Let's ask him to help us to understand. Wonderful and living God, we thank you that you've given us the Bible. We thank you that you've given us these 150 Psalms right in the middle of the Bible that tell us what you are like and how you bring wonderful rescue to sinners like us. We thank you for this psalm and ask that you would help us to understand it, that we would know Jesus, that we would know more of him, that even there would be those here tonight who would come to know him as their saviour through considering and believing this psalm. We ask it in his name. Amen. So as I said, in our journey through the Psalms, looking at knowing Jesus in the Psalms, we've come now to Psalm 40. Thanks, Chris. We might read that through. I've got four slides there. The song we sang was a setting that rhymed so that we could sing it more easily. This is a translation from the words that David originally wrote down in his own language. He says, and sorry, every time you see the word Lord there in capital letters, remember that's the personal name of God. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Thanks, Chris. Oh, sorry. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Well, this is about Jesus. In fact, it is Jesus speaking. And We know that because when we look at the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, the apostle, the Christian teacher who is writing to other Christians, said these words. They're in chapter 10, if you want to look it up later, verses 5 to 10 of the book of Hebrews. He's speaking about Jesus, and he says, "Therefore, when he, Jesus, came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God.'" Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." The apostle says he takes away the first, that is, the sacrifice and offerings, the burnt offerings and offerings for sin, that he may establish the second, that is, the will of God. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, there's so much that we can learn about Jesus in this psalm, but I want us to focus on the things that the apostle spoke about there in Hebrews. So I think three things that we can learn about Jesus and the rescue that he brings in Psalm 40. We learn that Jesus came just as it was written in God's book. When he came, he delighted to do the will of God. He delighted in praying to God and praising God. And his sacrifice was the perfect sacrifice. It was offered once for all time. Second thing about the rescue that Jesus brings is that no matter how many troubles we are in because of sin, whether it's our own sin or the sin of others, God's way of rescuing Jesus outnumbers them all. And so it just doesn't stay in the area of theory. We can practically show our thanks to God. If we know the salvation of God in Jesus ourselves, we can show thanks to God by doing just what Jesus did, by delighting to do his will and by telling others about him. So if we can just, if we can go back and again and again. That one forward. Thank you. That's great. As I said, even though David wrote this psalm, he wrote it as a song to sing. He wrote it for a song that expressed his own thoughts. In a wonderful way, there was a fuller meaning to those words. God's Holy Spirit was working through David, and Jesus himself was speaking through his, all those greats, grandson, ahead of time. And he was speaking about the time when he would come to earth as a man and what he would accomplish. First of all, he had to have a body. He had to be a human. And that's what happened. He speaks there, "My ears you have opened." He had human ears. The way that the apostle put it, using the translation of the Bible that he had available to him, was, "You prepared a body for me. I had a human body. I came in that body." Now, we've all heard about the sacrifices that the Bible in the Old Testament speaks about, how when someone who trusted in God wanted to be right with God, they knew that God's law had requirements. God's law required perfect obedience to him. And if anyone broke that law, the punishment was very serious. The punishment even deserved death. And God had made a special way that forgiveness could be offered, so that the person themselves didn't have to die, but there could be death in their place, a death instead of them. And he gave the sacrifices of animals. The blood of the animal would be poured out, the body of the animal would be burnt, and God would offer forgiveness because of that. But Jesus was saying that ultimately those sacrifices weren't truly, completely in themselves sufficient to pay the price that God's law required. They had to be offered over and over again. Every week, every year, sacrifices had to be offered over and over again. But it was God's purpose that Jesus would come. It was written all through, now it's interesting, the scroll of the book. When we think of a book, we think of a book we can open up. But in Jesus' day and in David's day, people used to write down, and they would, instead of having the pages together with a spine, they would just roll it up on sticks and they would unroll it. And so all through God's word, the Bible that David had, there were writings which told about Jesus coming. Moses was told, a prophet's going to come, a great prophet, the final, the ultimate prophet. All through, and even this, that David is writing, the truth was there, that in the scroll of the book it is written of me. And what was characteristic of Jesus? Jesus delighted to do the will of God. Now, if we're honest with ourselves and we think about the will of God and the law of God, we have to acknowledge that so often what God tells us in the Bible makes us grumble. We're annoyed. Who does God think he is telling me that I can't do that or that I should do this? We look at the Ten Commandments and we have to acknowledge that the law of God, the will of God, goes against our own desires and our own will. But Jesus could say truthfully, I delight to do your will. Your law is within my heart. Jesus was the perfect man, the perfect human who loved God's truth, loved to obey God. And it was his delight to tell, to speak of the goodness of God. I proclaim the good news of righteousness. I've not hidden your righteousness. I've declared it. I've not concealed your loving kindness. He didn't keep his love of God, his delight in God, a secret. He told others about it. But if we go on to the next bit of the psalm, thanks, Chris. There in verse 12, I'm sure it was the experience of David, King David, as he wrote the psalm, that he was aware of his own personal sin, his own personal rebellions against God. And when he added them up, he said, there are more sins and more times of disobedience and breaking of God's law than I can count. My iniquities have overtaken me. I'm not able to look up. They're more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. And he knew his only hope was in God. And if we go right back to the first slide of the psalm, if we're talking about counting, David has just said, my sins are more than I can count. But in verse 5, he had already said, your wonderful works which you have done are many. Your thoughts towards us, your people, cannot be recounted to in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And that's one of the wonderful things that we find out, that Jesus' sacrifice was the perfect sacrifice. The apostle said to the people he was writing his letter to, we are set apart for God, we are sanctified because the body of Jesus was offered up as a sacrifice. And because of that, if we're trusting in that sacrifice, if we're trusting in Jesus to make us right with God, we might think that we've got more troubles than God could possibly handle. But the psalm tells us that God's wonderful works are many. His good thoughts towards his people are more than you could possibly count if you tried to put them in order. If we set out to speak about them, they are more than we could possibly imagine. So God's ability to rescue us in Jesus, if you like, outnumbers all of the ways in which we find ourselves in trouble and difficulty. So, as I said, three things we can learn about Jesus. Jesus came just as God's book said that he would come. He came delighting to do the will of God. He delighted in praying to God and praising God. His sacrifice was the perfect sacrifice once for all time. And although David, when he wrote the psalm, was aware of his own sin crowding in on him and the wonderful rescue that was available to him, I'm sure as Jesus is speaking through David's words, he's aware of all of the sins of his people that he took upon himself. When he says, speaking through his great-great-great-great-grandson, my sins overwhelm me, he's speaking of those sins that he took upon himself, and in a sense he made his own by taking them on behalf of those who would believe in him. And that's the only way we can have our sins forgiven, is if they become, in a sense, Jesus' sins, the sins placed upon Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus became sin for his people, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so finally, if we know the forgiveness of sins because of the coming in a human nature with a human body of Jesus, his offering that as a sacrifice, we should show thanks to God for the rescue that he's brought in Jesus by delighting to do his will, by saying just what Jesus said, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. But we don't just let that be locked up in our heart and hidden. Just as David said, just as Jesus says, speaking through David, we don't keep all that locked up and hidden. We tell it to everyone we can. We speak about the many, many ways that God's been good to us. We speak about the way, even though we rebel against him, he offers forgiveness. The way that when we're in trouble, he rescues us. The way that we can pray to him when we're in difficulty. The way that it's a joy to us to praise him. If you don't know what it is to be right with God because of the sacrifice that Jesus has offered, he invites you through this psalm to come and be set apart for God, to become one of God's people, by trusting that the body of Jesus Christ was offered as a sacrifice in your place. Amen.